Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From 47 yards, this to win the game for the Niners. Off the right hash mark. The kick is away. The kick is no good. He shanked and left. And there's hope yet for the Seahawks with 3:06 to play.
What a game. Back and forth. Made kicks. Missed kicks. Bad turnovers, great quarterback plays, you had injuries, and you had overtime. And the San Francisco 49ers send those old fogies, the 72 Dolphins, to whatever happy hour they're going to go to at 4 o'clock to drink their champagne. 27-24, Seattle wins in San Francisco. Russell Wilson had a horrible possible game-losing interception in overtime, but San Francisco had the ball for like 4 seconds after that. Gave it back, Russell running around, and a huge 3rd-and-16, and the Seahawks win it.
So I watched that this morning on, you know, before coming in this morning, and I knew that—
What time did you wake up to watch that?
Like 3:30, 3:15, you know, and so the condensed game feature on NFL, you know, that app is amazing, by the way. Anyway, so I knew that Seattle had won the game, and I saw that the 49ers got the ball with like 1:35 left in overtime, and I'm like—
How did they get it back?
I'm thinking, okay, Jimmy G's getting ready to throw a pick. You know, somebody's going to fumble. No, they just threw the ball on 3 straight plays, and they literally ran, I think, 12 seconds off the clock on 3 plays.
Yeah.
And it was like right back into Seattle's hands. I mean, man, poor Chase McLaughlin. I mean, to the kicker, you know, for the 49ers, the undrafted rookie coming in, makes the huge kick. He's a hero, right? The perfect season intact to send to the send it to overtime. And then to miss the opportunity to win it in overtime was just such a brutal moment there. But Seattle's real, man. I mean, Seattle, Russ can win a game for you. That defense, especially the defensive line, they're the real deal. And how good is that 49ers defense too, man? I mean,
yes.
That defensive line.
They stripped DK Metcalf at the goal line.
That was a phenomenal play.
That was an amazing play. Screwed me in fantasy. Clowney was a game wrecker. Fumble return touchdown. He caused another fumble. Russell Wilson got stripped for a fumble return touchdown. Like, the game had everything. It had humongous plays. Josh Gordon, making his debut, came up big on 2 third-down catches for the Seahawks. Where are the Cowboys? Because you always have to think about the Cowboys in the back of your mind. Where are the Cowboys compared to those two teams? Are the Cowboys definitely on a level below? 877-881-1053. If they played both teams on neutral fields tomorrow, Pat, I would pick the other teams.
You'd pick the other teams.
Not like heads and shoulders, because what? San Francisco, I still have my doubts offensively.
That's what I was just— why do I feel so much more comfortable saying that Dallas could beat the 49ers right now in a neutral field than the Seahawks, even though the 49ers defense is better?
Because Russell's that much better
than
Jimmy.
Russell. And I just— what I saw from Clowney last night made me believe that they have a chance to make the defense special on the defensive line. That 49ers defensive line is special. And what it's done is it's allowed that secondary— you saw the stat last night in the game. They had, I believe, the fewest interceptions and takeaways for a team in NFL history last year. And this year, they're towards the top, if not number one in the NFL in that category. And I believe it's because the defensive line wrecks the game. You know, Nick Bosa has come in, and DeForest Buckner, they've been phenomenal in this season. And so that, to me, would scare me for the Cowboys going into the game. But on the other side of the field, man, I don't know if I feel like I can trust Jimmy Garoppolo in a big moment. Although that running game would be pretty bad, you know, for the Cowboys to face right now with what we just saw. They gave up, I believe, 140 yards against the Vikings after contact, which was more than twice as much as any other team has done so far this season in the NFL.
So I would go Seattle, San Fran, Dallas.
Yeah.
I'd have other teams obviously in there in the NFC, but just for the purposes of last night, Seattle, San Fran, Dallas. Roy, what would your order be?
I think I would do Seattle, Dallas, San Fran.
You think Dallas is better than San Francisco?
Not that I think they're better necessarily. They haven't played like they're better, but I would feel better about playing against them in a one-off for the same reason that Pat mentioned, is maybe Russell gets you. The 49ers as a team are much better than Seattle, but yeah, I'm not scared of Jimmy Garoppolo, and I go into that game feeling like I have the better quarterback. I don't know what else I have that's better than them, but again, I'd feel like I could win 4 out of 6 against them versus Seattle. Like, Russell could do it to you every time, and you might not be able to stop it.
Let me throw another team in there. What about the Vikings, the team we just saw on Sunday night? If it was the four of those teams, because to me, I think all four of those teams are very similar.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a huge gap between Dallas, Minnesota, Seattle, and San Francisco, even though San Francisco's record is so great. And look, they've got some good wins. And I think Kyle Shanahan is doing a phenomenal job there. That running game is scary. But at the same time, I don't know if they faced each other in a neutral field. I mean, I'm with you, Roy. I don't know if it's more than 4 out of 6, you know, somewhere in that. It's not as if I believe any of those teams would beat Dallas 8 out of 10 times if they faced each other on a neutral field right now.
No, neither do I. But who's on the top tier? The problem with the Cowboys is everything has to go right. Like, you're going in with a coaching disadvantage. I believe that. That's what I can't wait to ask Jerry today at 8:30. Like, you're not going to overcome anything because of your coaching. Your defense is easily, like, well, your run defense is the most suspect out of all of them. Seattle's had pass D problems, but like their physical toughness, like they got called out in that Viking game. They've been called out all year with getting beaten up physically. But I would put the Cowboys behind the Vikings, behind the 49ers, and behind Seattle. Who's on the top level of the NFC? Is it New Orleans and then everyone else? Or are you putting Green Bay on the top tier, or are they at the top of the second tier?
I'd say it's New Orleans, and then there's a little bit of space, and then it's Green Bay, a little bit of space, and then the four teams we're talking about right now.
I mean, we didn't even mention Philly.
No, I think Philly's below these four. I don't think that Philly is in the same category as Minnesota, Seattle, San Francisco, and Dallas. Dallas is probably number 3 or 4 out of those four teams, and then I think that Philly's below. I just think that the questions that Philadelphia has, both in the secondary and the inability for right now, it seems like Carson, you know, even though that they've won the 2 games in a row before their bye, I still don't necessarily trust him totally, which is weird because he's super talented. But I think Dallas is still slightly ahead of Philadelphia.
And
right now,
how did the Rams disappear from this conversation?
I was just going to ask you, where do the Rams fall into this here?
At the end, their offense is broken.
I know.
What happened?
Well, the Steelers do that to a lot of teams, man. I mean, that Steelers defense is amazing.
Yeah, but it's since been
the
more, Mika, it's
when
been
the
more
Minka
than
Fitzpatrick
the
deal happened for the Steelers, what did you think at the time? When they gave up a first-round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick, what did you think?
Pittsburgh gave away a top-10 pick in the draft.
I literally thought they gave away Roethlisberger's replacement. That's ridiculous. And here they are now. Dude, that defense, Fitzpatrick has played like a defensive player of the year since he's gotten to Pittsburgh. It's been unbelievable. So they did that to the Rams. So maybe that Rams offense isn't quite as bad as they showed on Sunday, but it's definitely not what it was last year.
Yeah, it's been more than it's been much more than the Pittsburgh game. Like, the Rams have, I said it yesterday, 19 straight offensive possessions without a touchdown. Like, it's been broken for a little bit. What's on the fan text before we move on?
Yeah, a lot of people weighing in on where the Cowboys are relative to the 49ers and the Seahawks, and they're not too optimistic. from the 817, 3 levels below the Cowboys are compared to these two teams. From the 314, Cowboys have way better talent than both of those teams. We would lose because of coaching, a sentiment shared by a lot of fans at this point in time. From the 817, of course we pick the other team. Our coaches can never help us win a game, and at home we don't even have a home field advantage.
Oh, shots fired at the at the Arlington Knights.
I think that's gotten better this year.
There's no question about it. During that last game at down the stretch, that's the loudest I think I've heard AT&T Stadium in a long time. It was loud. Now, I know there were some Vikings fans there. I get that. One thing that people don't ever give credit to for the Cowboys in the Cowboys Nation, by the way, every road game that we go to, it's about a third Cowboys fans at least in the stands there. So while AT&T Stadium is not an amazing home field advantage, the Cowboys fans always show out on the road in a huge way too.
Mavs taking on the best record in the league in Boston last night. It didn't end well.
Jason Tatum, 1 of 18, and the Celtics still beat the best offensive team in the NBA by double digits. The final score, Boston 116, Dallas 106.
Jason Tatum and Porzingis basically canceled each other out. That was Celtics radio with the call, and the Celtics are 8-1 with Kyrie Irving gone. They pull away from the Mavericks thanks to Kemba Walker, and the concern is, what's up with Porzingis? Porzingis last night was terrible. He scored 4 points. He had 5 fouls. He shot 9% from the field in 20 minutes. And, Pat, my bigger concern is he wasn't in at the end. Yeah. He's going to struggle. He had time off. You're recovering. Carlisle the other day said this is a different offense. He's used to things that are very structured. We're trying to go wide open with a free flow here, which I was like, didn't Rondo hate you for not doing that back when he was here? But Carlisle's like, we're just going to flush this one. But he wasn't even in at the end as Kemba Walker took over despite Luka and his awesome game.
Shots fired at Carlisle there, by the way. I mean, taking shots here on a Tuesday morning.
Well, I'll never take coaching shots at Carlisle. Yeah. Just personal shots at Carlisle.
It's personal. I got you.
Yeah.
Porzingis, you know, I'm really excited about what the future holds with this. And I thought that this team had a chance, that duo has a chance to be special. I still believe that to be the case. Maybe there's a little more to this whole, like, taking 20 months, you know, between games thing. Did we think he wasn't going to have a couple of games here and there where it wasn't, you know, excellent? And he showed some ability early in the season to be dominant, to be a force. And I'm of the belief that that will emerge again at some time. But it is concerning when you're on the road, taking on Boston in a setting like that. I mean, that how good was that scene last night watching that game? That place was awesome. It was rocking.
Yeah.
And that's where you really want to be able to lean on your two stars. And instead, Luka was phenomenal, but really it was the Mavs bench and the role players, guys like Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleba. These guys are emerging and playing great, and they got the Mavs back in the game in the fourth quarter, and then, you know, Porzingis just wasn't there to kind of join Luka in that reinforcement down the stretch, which is extremely disappointing. Hopefully he bounces back, but the next game for him, not going to be an easy location in New York against the Knicks. That building is going to be hostile.
So Porzingis... they'll play Thursday night at the Garden. Porzingis averaged 22 in the month of October. He's averaging 15 this month. The shooting percentage has gone from 43 to 37, and he's struggling right now. Future question later on the show, or maybe later in the week. Anyone doubting that this can still be a great duo? Like, is Porzingis not going to ultimately carry his weight? There are plenty of doubters. I'm still in. Pat is still in, but Porzingis right now is struggling as the Mavs lose in order to fall to 6-4.
Can I just mention real quick that Luka averaging 28-10-9 right now.
We need to do an early MVP, NBA MVP segment.
He's 20 years old. I mean, he won't turn 21 until February 28th, which, as you guys know, is the best day of the year. And I mean, that's my birthday too, but 20 years old and to be averaging 28-10-9.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.